Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Nelcas Limited Q3 and 9 months FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonia Keswani from Ernst & Young. Thank you and over to you, Ms. Sonia.
Thanks, Myron, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nelcas Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q3 and 9-month FY23 earnings conference call. I am Sonia Keswani from Ernst & Young. We are the IR partners to Nelcas Limited. You would have already received the Q3 and 9-month FY23 results and investor presentation, which is also available in our filings with the BSE. To discuss the company's business performance during the quarter and outlook, we have with us today Mr. P. Deepak, the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S. K. Shivakumar, the Chief Financial Officer of Nelcas Limited. Before we proceed with the call, a disclaimer. Please do note that anything said on this call during the course of the interaction and in our collaterals, which reflects the outlook towards the future or which should be construed as a certain forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces and may not be updated from time to time. More details are provided at the end of the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on our website, www.nelcas.com. Should you have any queries or need any further information at the end of this call, you can reach out to us at the email addresses mentioned in the company collaterals. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Deepak. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sonia. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending this call. On behalf of the Nelcas team, I would like to wish you all a very happy new year. May this year bring you happiness, peace and prosperity. Talking about the numbers for the quarter gone by, our total revenues stood at 334 crores in Q3 FY23, which was a growth of about 41% year over year and about 0.6% quarter on quarter. So this was another record quarter of revenues, which is, I think, now 4 quarters in a row. And the year-on-year performance was driven by volume growth that stood at 21,513 tons, up about 22% year over year. We saw strong demand from the commercial vehicle segment and from exports. However, we did see the decline in the tractor segment, which is in line with the seasonality that we typically see for the segment. Quarter on quarter only saw a marginal increase due to the disruption of the company's operations for a week due to a temporary shutdown of power supply, which led to lower volumes. On the margin front, our EBITDA stood at 21 crores in Q3 of FY23, up 38% year over year, but down 29% quarter on quarter. The year over year performance was driven by growth in sales volumes and better realization due to increase in the exports. But quarter-on-quarter performance was impacted due to lower sales tonnage as well as one-off cost related to the transformer failure, which resulted in the power shutdown for a little over a week in one of our plants, and additional hiring to bring in additional people for the new and existing plants as we are preparing for some new program launches ahead. Our EBITDA per kg for the quarter stood at rupees 10. And for the 9 months so far, stands at 11.9 rupees per kg in the 9 months of FY23. Moving on to the segment-wise situation and the outlook, the tractor segment witnessed a large dip compared to last quarter. This is impacted, I would say, by normal seasonality in the industry. We do still expect that seasonality to remain in Q4 of FY23. And we expect, again, based on seasonality, Q1 of FY24 to be a substantial quarter-on-quarter improvement going forward. The MNHCV, which is our medium and heavy commercial vehicles, continue to demonstrate strong performance. We expect that growth momentum to continue as we move to Q4 of FY23. On the export front, demand remains strong. We recorded a revenue of 91 crores this quarter, and 246 crores overall for the 9 months of FY23. So this already eclipses what we have done in our entire FY22. The new product launches, some of them are in the final stages of ramp-up and will reach production towards the end of this quarter or early next quarter. This will ultimately boost our revenue from exports to exceed the 300 crores that we had mentioned on previous calls in the current year. Our segment-wise revenue contribution for the 9 months of FY23 saw the largest share coming from medium and heavy commercial vehicles, which made up 37.7% of the total revenues, followed by tractors, which was 31.3%, exports at 26%, and off-highway equipment at 1.7%, railways at 3%, and others at 0.3%. We expect the overall performance to be better in Q4 of FY23 when compared to Q3. So we do expect to see quarter-on-quarter growth happening in this quarter, driven by the strong momentum in M&HCV as well as exports. Looking a little at the overall year, we do envisage a decent demand opportunity which should driving these growths. And considering the nine-month performance, we believe we can achieve in excess of 85,000 tons for the year with an EBITDA per kg of approximately 12 rupees per kg in FY23, which is in line with what we had stated in our previous calls. Looking forward to FY24, we expect double-digit top-line growth in revenue, driven by continued strong demand in M&HCV. We do believe there will be a pickup in tractor sales next year as well, boosted by strong rural economy and growth. Will also continue in our export markets on the basis of strong order backlogs. There are still large wait times on some of the larger trucks. So we do believe that order backlog will remain healthy for the next year. With that, I think this is, we can now open the floor for any questions that anybody may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is about the drop in the gross margins. So what has led to the, correction in the gross margins on a YOY as well as quarter-on-quarter basis? This is despite, the steel prices, was down during that period.
So I think there were a few different things that impacted the gross margin. I think one of which was on some of our export businesses, we did see that the price reductions that we had to pass on based on the global indices that we have for steel scrap prices, there is a greater reduction in those prices globally than in India. I think I may have mentioned this in past calls that typically when we see this lead or lag between the Indian and global markets, it is temporary and tends to converge back within a quarter or two. So that was one. We did pass on some price reductions also to our customers. And I think over and above that, I think from a cost perspective, we did see a couple of other things. One, some additional hiring that we had done in our plants, envisaging some growth that we expect that we will see in the next couple of quarters. We did see also increase in power cost that was done by the Tamil Nadu Electricity Department as well, which is in the process of being passed on to the customers. So there were a few different cost factors, I think, that did impact us in this quarter gone by.
So, sir, going ahead, sir, what will be our, sustainable gross margins going ahead in the coming quarters?
So I think what we're seeing in terms of gross margins are still, largely in line, right? I think we will see perhaps, 1 to 2% kind of a difference in gross margins, nothing substantial. But I think, on an overall basis, based on how the price will, has normalized, we do believe that this 12 rupees per kg average that we have for the 9 months will certainly, sustain into the fourth quarter as well.
Okay. And sir, you are talking about the new product ramp up. So at the peak level, sir, what kind of revenue it will generate and what will be our export outlook for the next year?
So I see at peak levels, right, for on a full year right now with the products that we have already that are already launched as well as are currently launching. So we see somewhere between about maybe about 100 to 110 crores per quarter being the norm. With I'm talking about just the products that are launched and currently under ramp up. We do believe that there's some further opportunities that we might get a chance to in the upcoming year, but right now we see between about perhaps about 100 to 110 crores per quarter being what we could achieve once the products are fully ramped up.
So this will be so starting from Q1 FY24, 100 crore kind of our export run rate revenue?
Yeah, I think we do believe that that's certainly the case.
And so lastly, on the other income part, sir, if I look at our other income, it has, you know, gone up sharply on a YOY as well as quarter-on-quarter basis. So what has led to this, sharp rise in the other income, sir?
So I think one of the things that does come into other income is gain on foreign exchange. So I think one of the things that we have been fairly prudent about is how we have managed our hedging and how much we have left open. So I think with that, we've been able to realize a better dollar rate than what we had originally envisaged.
So what was the portion of the forex income in that?
80%. Maybe about 75 to 80%, something in that range perhaps might be the forex related.
So will this continue in coming quarter, sir, or this was like one time gain?
We can't exactly say that, right? Because it we're not experts on the forex market. But I mean, I think some portion of it will certainly continue into Q4. But we'll have to see how the forex moves as well.
Okay. So when you said when you talk about the EBITDA per kg of 12 rupees. So does it include the other income also, or you are talking about excluding, you know, other income and the pure operating profit?
It includes other income as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Amay from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of questions from my side, sir. Firstly, in the presentation, you have mentioned guidance of 85,000 tons for the full year, which was earlier 90,000 tons. Sir, what was the reason for this revision in guidance?
So I think if we look at what was the impact of the transformer related issues and that has the thing, I would say that's that number is probably around 2,000 tons or so is the impact of that. I think what we expect this year will be between 85 and 86. So, and 2000 is probably the impact of that. Another 2000 is, I think if you look at the fall in the tractor segment, while it is in line, I think this year we did think that there would be a slightly lower fall. So perhaps another couple thousand tons because of that. So I think that's the, why we believe, between 85 and 86 is where we'll end up for this year.
So tractor was better than expected, right?
Yeah, so overall for the year, I think tractor has been, slightly better than the previous year. But I think for the previous quarter, the fall was a little bit more than what we had expected, because typically in a good year, it doesn't fall off as much because OEMs do tend to, try to build their inventories a little bit more. Unfortunately, that has not happened. But what we have done is in the plants that were, producing more of the tractor parts, we've actually moved some of the commercial vehicle parts over into the into those plants as well, so that we'll be able to get a little bit more tonnage in the current quarter.
Okay, and sir, you mentioned the 2,000 tons was because of the power issue, that the production was less. So, sir, what is the tonnage that comes out of Gudur per quarter? I think it's around 7,000. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Gudur, I believe it would be around 8,000 tons or so, approximately.
So In 3 months, if 8,000 tons comes out of Kudur and our plant was shut down for just a week, so then how is the impact of 2,000? I'm not able to, sir, connect with us.
So let me explain. What happened was that, you know, as a result of the transformer failure, it was about 8 days of production loss that we had. But in addition to that, we had then installed a replacement transformer, which can temporarily, while the transformer was getting permanent repair. So that replacement transformer doesn't have the 100% capacity of the overall of our original transformer. But unfortunately, that was what was available, and to avoid further loss of production, that's what we had to install. So that replacement transformer is currently being replaced. Our original transformer has been fully repaired and is currently being installed and will get into operation from today. So that that is also part of that impact that's there.
Okay. All right. And we'll end this year with good export revenues. So basically, you mentioned that 110 crores export for FY24 per quarter. You'll start with Q1. And so overall, what are the volumes that you expect in FY24?
So I think overall in FY24, we feel pretty comfortable. What we said was, you're talking about just export or overall volume?
Overall volumes.
So overall volume, compared to, let's say, I think we feel pretty confident. We said double digits on the commentary, but I think we feel pretty confident a number of something around 20% or so would be where we would end up. I think that we feel pretty confident about.
So about at least 100,000 tons next year.
Certainly, I think 100,000. We certainly believe we will absolutely cross 100,000.
Okay. And sir, any guidance on the EBITDA for next year?
So I think at this point we don't yet have. I think we'll try to get you a little bit more clarity perhaps on the subsequent calls. But at this point, I think our focus is making sure that we achieve the 12. And then, I think there's a few things that we are working on, especially in the new plant with new product launches and all of that. So we do believe we can do better next year. But I don't have any specific guidance on that.
Awesome. And so lastly, what was the utilization of Pedaparia and Gudur plant?
So the Pedaparia plant last quarter, we had achieved actually a utilization of about 23%. So I think it's higher than the previous quarter, which was, I believe, around 20%. And the Gudur plant, of course, because of this impact, we did have a drop in the utilization. Just give me... So Gudur plant, I think, currently stands at about 45% utilization.
And Poneri is running at optimum, right?
Yeah.
Sir, Pedaparia, if I'm not wrong, maybe it was 25% last quarter?
No, I think this quarter was actually higher than last quarter by quite a bit, actually. So I think right now... It was, just give me a second, I just pulled that number up. Yeah, about 23% is where it was. The previous quarter was a little bit lower.
Okay. Yeah, that is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
18% last.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Aman Agrawal from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
So
Aman,
a few
can
questions.
You hear us?
Am I audible?
Yes, now you are. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. First on this FY24 guidance, when we said we would be doing some more than 100,000 tons in volumes next year. So what kind of volume are we looking at in terms of exports? If you can talk about that.
So I think, on the export front, like I said, right, I think this year we have done 246 so far, you know, we think somewhere around that 400 to 450 is the crores is the value. So I think perhaps maybe about 30% or so we might see an export. At least this is based on obviously what we're seeing as demand from our customers today.
Understood, sir. And any new deal traction we are getting in exports, like any talks?
There are some I would say fairly advanced discussions happening. The business awards have not yet happened. Don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I think there are some discussions that are happening for products that might launch towards either the end of calendar year 23 or in early calendar year 24. So there are some, I would say, fairly serious discussions going on that we think we've got very good opportunities with, including a couple of projects in the electrification. But I think it's too premature for us to, count our chickens before they hatch.
Understood, sir. The Europe side, sir, we have been talking about some traction from Europe in the past. So any idea on how the situation is in Europe and, like, are we getting good conversions in Europe now, like, given the kind of energy issues they had previously?
Yeah. So I think there's, I think it was pretty clear for us that I think whatever they were looking for would be probably closer for, you know, next winter than it was for this winter, considering the kind of reservoir levels they were able to maintain of natural gas and the fact that they've also had a milder winter this year, which was fortunate for them. But I do think there's a very strong opportunity in Europe, driven both by the energy crisis as well as the labor crisis that foundries in Europe seem to be facing. But I don't think there's anything specific that I would pinpoint right now towards Europe, but we do have some, I would say, couple of, serious discussions that we're having on products to Europe. And we are starting to see more urgency, right? It was a little bit surprising that we hadn't seen that urgency from the purchasing teams in Europe on given the kind of energy situation and labor situation that was there. We're starting to see a little bit more. We're having some visitors come, see our plants, more RFQs coming in. But we do believe that most of these things, I think the decision will probably be taken over the summer.
Got it, sir. So on the raw material cost impact, like, we have seen such decline in steel prices. So is it completely passed on, or they would see some more impact in our revenue in terms of raw material cost passing going forward also?
So I think some portion, I mean, as the increase decrease happens, right, because we work on a quarter lag basis. So as the increase decrease happens, we're able to, we'll pass it on, right? I don't see anything substantial impacting Q4 right now on that front.
And on the power cost, since it was impacted this quarter, so we expect this kind of impact to continue in next few quarters also? Like, do we see some moderation in power and fuel cost, given we were also talking about some decline in power cost through some of the arrangements we have done on the renewable energy side and all in the past?
Yeah, so I think, specifically, on the power cost side, if you look at it, I think the from a renewables perspective, right, wind especially, the peak season is actually Q2, right? So you get a lot more generation of wind happening in Q2. Some of it, obviously, depending on which project and whether they've been grandfathered in, do have banking facilities so they can be pulled forward and used in later part of the year. But the generation of renewable units in Q3 is typically a little bit lower than in Q2, right? Q4 also is a little bit lower and then starts to pick up in Q1. But that being said, we are adding more and more renewable sources. I think last time I had said about 55% was the amount of renewable. We're currently at 63%. That we're getting to, and certainly I think it will get better. I think our target is to be at about 80% within the next couple of years.
Got it, sir. And just one final question.
Some of the impact of this power cost also, as the raw material price is declining, in that price adjustment, the impact of the power cost is being added in.
Understood, sir. Final question on the Petperia plant, we are operating at 23% kind of utilization. So when do we expect to increase this utilization and reach PAT break even at least for that plant?
So I feel actually, you know, we've made quite a bit of progress, I would say, in the last couple of months, especially on the larger Kunkelwagner line, which gives me actually quite a bit of confidence that, you know, next year we can hit 40% and certainly have a, you know, positive EBITDA and PAT contribution if we do that. So that's something we actually feel extremely good about. We've narrowed it down internally to about only 4 or 5 action points, all of which can be completed, you know, within the next 4 to 6 months. So we feel extremely, extremely confident that, you know, for the year ahead, that, you know, 40% is what we can achieve.
And this we can reach by Q2 of next year, right? So like in 6 months.
Like I said, perhaps about, you know, let's say maximum, we're looking at about 6 months or so to have all the actions in place.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot for your answers. It was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Chirag Shah from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one question I had on the Pet Parya plant, how should one we look at the ramp up of, because the ramp up seems to be slightly slower than expectation. So why it is and how should we look at the ramp up? Are the orders that we have are still trial orders or proof of concept which is happening right now, and then actual orders will start flowing on, or there is a delay at the client end in launching those products or platforms?
So I think, you know, some of, I think there's two aspects to it. I think one aspect to it is the orders and the testing and all of that. So out of all the products that we have, I would say now in terms of the envisaged volume, I think 90% of the products, the testing and approvals have been completed and are now in the ramp-up stage, right, as of maybe in the last month or two. So we are really, I think, you know, from a product and demand perspective, in the last couple of months, I think we've seen concern on the demand side go away. So now it's more a question of the operational side and us achieving the necessary numbers, which we've got, as I mentioned, about 4 actions that we have planned, which will make sure that we will have this plant running at above 40%, and that you know, 40% is a number that we believe we can achieve for FY24.
The second question is, how should we look at your EBITDA per kg? I know your aspirational numbers are going up to 15 rupees a kg. Is Pet Parya plant the key driver for that?
Yeah, I think it will definitely be a key driver, right? Because it will add to it rather than subtract from it. You know, I think if you look at, as I may have mentioned in previous calls, you know, the export margins are better overall. And I think in spite of Pet Parya, you know, pulling down the overall number, we've been able to achieve 12% for this, 12 rupees per kg for this year. So we see that if, you know, Pet Parya actually contributes to this, you know, it would certainly push the number up in the upcoming year. And I have a personal belief that perhaps within the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, you know, the Pet Parya plant will be the biggest driver in terms of EBITDA per kg, right? I believe that will be the plant with the highest number that we will have across all 3 plants. So that's something that maybe it's a confidence that I have that certainly we can achieve that in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Nilesh Doshi from Green Lantern Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the question. My question is mainly on the margin side. So if last quarter we did about 13 rupees a kg and this quarter we did 10 rupees a kg. Now you did try to explain based on that production loss at one of the plant because of transformer failure and some passing on of the price to the exports market. But if you look at the revenue side, we have the same revenue last quarter versus this quarter. And therefore, it's something question that why such a big drop in the margin, like because your revenue has been more or less same.
So if we look at, you know, in terms of, you know, production also, there was about, give me one second, I'll tell you the production figure, right? The production figure between, there was about 1,000 ton decrease in terms of our production numbers, right? Which is, you know, part of the issue, and about a 500 ton reduction in terms of sales compared to the previous quarter.
So like almost 5% of the revenue, I mean the production loss or 5% of the sale loss in terms of tonnages makes so much difference in terms of...
No, not at all. So there was, as you said, 5% drop in terms of volume, you know, quarter on quarter. In addition to that, the power cost increase that was there in Poneri, and as I mentioned earlier, also some passing on of the cost reduction. In addition to that, the employee cost also has gone up in the quarter based on some hiring, right, that we had done based on some new product ramp-ups that are currently going on. So until the ramp-ups are complete, you won't see the full absorption of this, you know, the employee cost into the margins.
So, sir, do we expect at least from Q4, I mean, we don't see such failure on machines or, I mean, the transformer or any such thing, bearing such unforeseen situation, do we believe that we can start coming back to 13 rupees per kg from Q4 as a run rate?
So I think, see, as of now, I think what we've been stating from the beginning of the year has been, you know, at 12 rupees per kg for this year, and I think that's the number that we will stick to for the time being. We hope we can do better than that, but I think that's the number that we feel comfortable talking about.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Raj from Archer Partners. Please go ahead.
I want to know that you have talked about your expansion plans, your effort to 24.
Mr. Raj, this is the operator here. Request you to kindly go off the speakerphone as your audio is not very clear.
All right, just hold on. Am I audible now?
It's much better now, yes.
Okay, so I want to know that looking 3 to 4 years down the line, how much of the sales you can do from the existing expansions? You know, wanted to know the peak sales.
Okay, so I think looking, if I was to look at the existing plants and look at, you know, our capacity there, our installed capacity is 160,000 tons a year. So roughly at about 80% of that, you know, we would be looking at about 125 to 130,000 tons. In addition to that, I think we've also mentioned on previous calls that there is a potential that we could add another 50,000 tons to this capacity, which means let's say another 40,000 tons or so of what we could achieve, right? So I think somewhere around with the existing three facilities with a little bit of investment, we're looking at a number that's perhaps somewhere in the range of, you know, 1,60,000, 1,70,000 tons is kind of the best we could achieve.
All right. Then looking at the sales figure, so on these expansions, so how much would be the sales amount?
So, I mean, it's a little difficult to project, obviously, because there is some raw material up and down. But I think, roughly speaking, with the product mix that we see, we expect maybe it would be about 150 rupees per kg or so. Or I think anywhere between 130 to 150 rupees per kg, I think, is a fair estimate of, you know, what top line would run into if you multiply that with the...
All right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when we look at your 9 months other income number, that works out to around 14.14 crore. So will it have the similar component in the similar percentage of 75 to 80% from the foreign exchange gain?
Yes, it will be similar.
Okay. And what factors does it contribute to, sir? How are we able to create this numbers? The rupee has depreciated over this period. So just if you could explain to us how we were able to do this.
Exchange rate increased to some 77.
Yeah, so it's just an increase in the exchange rate, right? The depreciation of the rupee is what contributes to that chunk.
We have an unhedged part. Whatever export we have, it is since we have the same receivables in dollars, so it is kept open.
Right. And what we try to do is, I think based on the currency movement, we don't have a specific percentage that we hedge or unhedge. I think we look at it more opportunistically, and when we feel the opportunity is right, we might hedge a little more or hedge a little less.
Just to harken on the point, sir, there will be years when the currency may also appreciate. So that would be a year where we will be having losses on this line item. Or how will our business profile align to an appreciating rupee?
So I think whatever we would see in those scenarios, we don't believe that, at least we haven't seen years where there's been significant appreciation of the rupee, right? I think we've seen a depreciation of the rupee or a relatively flat rupee. We've seen at times for short periods of time where there is a small appreciation. But I think that's something that, again, through how we've managed hedging, I think we've never seen a negative number here in the other income.
Okay, and just firstly to sum up, you did mention that in your printed release that 85,000 is the tonnage we are expecting for FY23, and a double-digit growth in the tonnage closer to 102 for FY24, and therein we are expecting a run rate of export quarterly run rate of 110 crore. And export contributing total 30% to the tonnage. These numbers are correct, sir, what we have, as you have said right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management reconnected. Sir, over to you.
Yeah, sorry, Saket, we lost you a little bit. There was a lot of interference in the background, so we couldn't hear.
Yes, sir. I will repeat, sir. Sir, what I heard over the call, I'll just repeat that facts and please correct if any point. Firstly, sir, we will be closing this year with a tonnage close to 85,000 tons. For the next year, we are expecting a tonnage in the vicinity of 100K to 102. And for export front, we are expecting a run rate of in the vicinity of 100 to 110 crore per quarter. And the tonnage of export to be 30% of the total tonnage. These are the broader numbers you have given.
Yeah, so the 100 to 110 per quarter is also based a little bit on, the peak volumes, right, which is at least based on what we're seeing today as demand from our customer. That's what we see peak pretty much through the calendar year of 23.
Correct, sir. And we are looking for then the EBITDA margin to be in the 13 to 15 rupees band. That should also be the likely band and not on the lower side.
So, yeah, I mean, we would not expect EBITDA margins to get lower than the current year for sure. I think it's still a little bit early for us to put a projection for next year, but certainly we would expect that next year our EBITDA margin would be, on a per kg basis, would be better than it is for this year, right? At least that much I can indicate to you.
Okay. Now, coming to the, sir, if you could give me the net debt number, sir, what is our net debt number for as on 31st December?
Okay.
And also the cost of funds, sir. Our finance costs have remained at 8 crore.
So our net debt number is at about approximately 240 crores. And our average cost of debt is 8.65%.
Okay. And what should be the numbers we are looking for the closure of this year? This will remain at 240. And what would be the likelihood for with the improved set of numbers for the next year target for FY 23-24 for the net debt number?
So we'll come back to you on the FY24 number, but I think we will be largely in line with this for this at the end of the fourth quarter. For the full year, on 31st March, we will likely be at the same net debt levels.
Right. Sir, on the fuel cost front, you did expose that is one line area, line item, where we need to more rationalization and the lowering of the cost. So I think so, other than this pooling of with the renewable sources, what else are we doing for the longer term so that this line item will be an inherent part of the business, should start adding to the profit rather than being reverse of the same, sir. So what steps are in the anvil, sir?
So on the energy cost, certainly I think there are activities going on in terms of energy conservation, right, where we are actively trying to reduce our consumption of energy. Part of that is also, as our volumes go up, our energy consumption per ton also will come down, right, because we will have some portion of the auxiliaries that will not increase. And at the same time, even our melting energy, if we are not folding metal at molten metal, will improve. So we do see that... we do see that happening going forward, that we will improve on in terms of the consumption side. Also, in terms of the cost side, as I mentioned, there are investments we are making in renewable energy that will help lower the cost as well.
Now, what are the plans for that, sir? How much are we investing in the renewable portfolio?
So I think our goal is to be right now, as I mentioned, we are at about a 63% or so was our renewable portfolio. Our goal would be to get to about 80%.
Okay, so out of the total requirement, 63% is to be renewable.
Right. Is already renewable right now. Out of today's total requirement, 63% is renewable. But obviously, with the growth happening, to stay at 63 itself will require additional renewable sources. In addition to that, our goal is to get to about 80%.
This quarter did have this one-off items, and a lot got cushioned because of the other income component. So if you could quantify it for us, had this being a normal quarter in terms of production, the impact that it had on the bottom line, a ballpark number in absolute terms.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult question to answer, but it's a very speculative answer. I think I don't want to give you any wrong figures, because it would be coming out of just gut feel. I don't think it would be coming out of real number, right? But certainly, I think something in the range of maybe we could have done better by about 4-5 crores or something like that is what I think.
Okay. Because when we look at the other line, other expenses line item, that has gone up from 92 crore to 96 crore. And power and fuel going up by 2 crore. And then the employee cost also going up by 2 crore. So easily we could see a 6-7 crore impact here.
Yeah.
And then top of that, we lost production. So if you could just rethink and give us some more understanding. Because this 6-7 crore happened on Q-on-Q basis.
Yeah.
So these other expenses line items do have the impact of the production loss?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of everything, right? Because at the end of the day, production is how the cost is getting absorbed into the product. So if the production takes a significant hit, then...
Better guidance is EBITDA per kg.
Yeah. So I think even during the last call, right, where we were talking about numbers, we had achieved numbers in excess of 13. I think our guidance still stayed at 12. We did not revise our guidance because I think we did see... some one-offs that we had anticipated for this quarter, and certain one-offs that benefited us in the previous quarter, right? So it's a little bit of an adjustment. So again, as we stand in the same position as where we stand last quarter, we still feel that for the full year at 12 is a fair guidance.
Okay, two small points. What is our 9-month tenant?
Is the operator here?
Last point.
Next, only come back in the queue. Follow up.
I'll come in the queue, sir. Yes, I will come in the queue.
We have the next question from the line of Aman Agrawal from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. Just one question on Petparia plant. Like, that has been a drag on our overall EBITDA. So if you can quantify the absolute amount of EBITDA loss we are taking from that plant for this quarter, like.
I do not have that figure in front of me at the moment.
I'll take it offline. So,
sure.
So another thing on the production volume, like what was the production volume for this quarter?
So the production volume for the quarter was 21,240.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Chirag Shah from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Chirag.
Yeah, hi. So just one clarification, if not now. This other income and this forex gain, if you could explain it a little bit better, because as our exports are likely to go up, this component can see variability significantly. So it would be helpful if you can explain it a little bit better, if not now, later on, because it's more of an accounting issue, what comes in other income and what comes in revenue in terms of cash flow hedges and all that.
Right.
So it would be really helpful if you can explain how do you look at your hedging, what kind of hedging in terms of percentage, what duration you look to hedge yourself. It would be really helpful. And in case possible, in presentation to give the separate disclosure of this forex gain, which is in other income.
We'll look into the point what you mentioned about the forex gain. But I mean, basically, see, hedging, honestly, we don't have a specific guideline in terms of how we do the hedging on the receivables front, right? I think in terms of any kind of liabilities, we make sure that we fully hedge them so that there is no potential risk of rupee depreciation that might happen on an import of, you know, any material or capital goods or anything like that. Which is in any case small, right? Or even in terms of any external commercial borrowings. But when it comes to the receivables and how we manage the hedging, so we don't have a specific strategy. It's a little bit more based on, I would call it opportunism, right? Where we feel that if there has been, you know, significant depreciation of the rupee, perhaps is a good time to book some hedges. And if there seems to be relatively stagnant rupee, maybe we don't. But one thing that we do make sure that for hedges longer than a few months, we don't we never take a hedge of more than maybe 50% of our exposure. Typically, it would be 30-40% is what we would take, right? So the simple way of looking at it is also on the day that we invoice the customer. If let's say the exchange rate was, 79 rupees, and the day that we receive the payment from the customer, the exchange rate is 82 rupees, that shows up, and that 82 rupees could be for a variety of reasons, right? Could be through hedging or through leaving something unhedged or whatever it may be. I believe that's how that gets, that's the number that how it fits in.
Yeah, so if it is unhedged, it would come as a part of your revenue, right? Because it is what you realized. And if it is hedged, it would come as a part of your other income. Is there?
No, I don't believe that that's the case. I don't believe that that's the case because when we recognize the revenue, right? When we recognize the revenue, where let's say it's $100, right? We recognize the revenue, when the invoice is generated to the customer. At 79 rupees, so it would be, let's say, 7,900 rupees, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, when we receive the payment, we've now received the payment against that invoice of 7,900 rupees. Let's say we've received a payment of 8,200 rupees. That 300 rupees would actually come in under other income, right? Because that's how that works, right? Because our invoice is actually in dollars, but we recognize the revenue at that point in rupees. I think a very, very simplified explanation from a non-chartered accountant about this.
No, it's absolutely fair, but because why people are asking so much of this, because EBITDA per ton, including and including other income, there seems to be huge variation many times. Okay. So that is the only reason, if you can just give a slightly better disclosure around that, it would be helpful.
Okay, we'll look into that too. We'll look into that. Sure.
And just one more question, if I can squeeze in. So there is a jump in staff cost. You referred that you have hired more people. Now this hiring is for what purpose, if you can indicate?
So some of this is based on the growth that we have some new product launches that are happening that we believe will drive that growth that we expect to see next year. And we also do believe that we will have some increase in production that will be happening going forward quarter on quarter basis. So we did do some additional hiring to make sure that we are prepared for this growth.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to paucity of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for your time in attending this call and for the thoughtful questions.
Thank you. On behalf of Nelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.